I think there's great storylines both ways. Tim Duncan becoming only the second player ever in NBA history, if he does it, to win a championship in 3 decades. That's pretty cool. Do you know who the only player is? We'll ask our guest. Maybe he knows. Ari Temkin from ESPN in San Antonio joins us. Ari, how are you?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
John Sally.
John Sally. That's right. Actually, you know what? I remember thinking it was Kareem last year and then looking it up and figuring out it was the spider.
Yeah, Sally. And now it's because he gets it in 89, then in 90, right? And then, of course, he won it with the Lake and with the Heat. Good for him.
Well, and Kareem won the MVP of the NBA Finals in 1971 and then won it again 14 years later at 85.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. That's one of the best stats ever. That is awesome. Now, Tim Duncan, like David Robinson was great, but in San Antonio, like Tim Duncan, he's got to be revered more than David Robinson, isn't he?
No question. Yeah. No question. You know, I mean, last year he went through a divorce, and it was reported by the newspaper here, and just the visceral reaction from people in San Antonio to, this isn't a story, stop talking about this, and it came about right before the playoffs. To me, that kind of just illustrates how important he is, how revered he is, and just how protected he is in San Antonio. I mean, he's a one-of-a-kind superstar, guys. I don't know that there will ever be another like him. In fact, a friend of mine who writes for the paper here did the oral history of Tim Duncan, and it's incredible. And the quotes to me are just hilarious. After draft night 97, his quote was, I just hope to make a difference. And then in when he won the Rookie of the Year, he shows up wearing a T-shirt, literally a white T-shirt and jeans, to the ceremony, and he stepped up to the podium and he says, am I supposed to make a speech now? I mean, he's just such a unique superstar in the humility that he shows outwardly off the floor. On the floor, he's as egomaniacal as anybody, but he doesn't. He's one of the great stars to not let that show off the floor, which I think is exclusive of him.
Ari, with Duncan, further to what you just said, I can't think of many other players who have the persona that Duncan does. I understand that confidence and in-your-face has its place in every professional game. You've got to think you're awful good to be awful good. Tim Duncan somehow, whether the mics are on or the cameras are off, he seems like the same player. It's almost like the gentleman basketball player. Is that the public perception of him? And who else even comes to mind when you think of that kind of personality?
No, that's a great question. It's kind of unparalleled. And, I mean, you know, you just can't reach the height that Duncan has reached, which I would argue top five, maybe, you know, top ten all time, without – you know, having an ego and being, you know, crazy in that. But I think it's the way he carries himself off the floor that speaks volumes of the type of person that he is and the humility that he exudes. You know, I think with Duncan, he's such a great example of, too often superstars get wrapped up in trying to skew or control the message of how they're perceived. You know, LeBron's a great example of that. You know, LeBron cares so much about how he's perceived. So at any interview he does, he's very pointed in what he's saying, and his response is very thought out. And it's all trying to skew in one direction, to make you think one way about him. And too often that blows up in athletes' faces because you can't always have that much control over it. And Duncan has just gone the opposite in that he's only going to talk to you about basketball stuff. You know, you ask him about basketball stuff, and that's all he talks about. And so there's never been any try to control the narrative, because there's never been any narrative, because there's never anything to write about him or story to tell about him that can skew the message or what he's saying in a more broader scope. So, to me, that's kind of the great, you know, dichotomy of superstars. Too many of them get caught up in how they're perceived. Duncan doesn't care how he's perceived, and that comes off in the interviews that he does.
Ari Temkin joins us from San Antonio. The Spurs taking on the Heat, game one tonight right here on TSN 1260. Last season, that game six, how much does it still haunt the Spurs, and is that the motivation heading in?
You know, look, I mean, they'll say it is. To me, though, I just don't know what more motivation you need than winning a championship. I mean, the organization's won 4 already. They're looking for their 5th. I mean, you know, they've used it as motivation to get them to this point. But when it comes down to it, the best team's going to win. And so whether, you know, that's not, there's not extra motivation that's going to fuel them there. But I do think that, the way they addressed that was very telling about their organization, in that they start training camp and it's the first thing they watched was game 6 and game 7 of the series last year. They watched it and hit it head on. Times there are points throughout the season when Pop, after games, middle of the week, Tuesday game, regular season, you know, in Toronto or in Minnesota, and he's talking about game 6, continued to kind of bring it up. So it was in front of them. And I think too often in sports, and maybe it's more of a masculine trait, but it's like, it's almost viewed as a negative to be reflective on past failures, past mistakes, past adverse situations. What happens is when you don't reflect upon them and they're not out there, they're still in the back of your mind. They're still there, but you just choose not to acknowledge them. And that could be detrimental, you know. And we've seen, you know, the Mavericks a couple years ago, they won 60 games, or they lost to the Heat in the NBA Finals, and then they won 60 games the next year and lost in the first round of Golden State. Part of that might have been the psyche of the locker room, of not being able to overcome what had happened to them that previous summer. And the Spurs, I think what they've been able to accomplish this year is a product of being able to reflect on the adverse situation and how do they get better by not just ignoring it, but by almost embracing it.
Ari, there's so few surprises in the game today because of advanced scouting and video and all the things that go into it. These two teams certainly know each other. So that said, are there any wild cards in your mind aside from maybe Parker's health?
Well, I mean, that's obviously it, and I think it might be overplayed because I think the Spurs realized the proposition that was in front of them in Game 6 and that they could take the chance of playing without Parker in that second half. Their offense was rolling enough to where they could win that game without him. That's not a sustainable existence, though, moving forward in this series by any stretch of the imagination. They're going to need Parker to win this. But, you know, it comes down to styles of play, and, you know, whatever style is able to dictate the terms is what's going to win out. And the Spurs, they're a team-oriented style that's very counter to the NBA that we've seen in the past where it takes stars to win championships, and so that's how teams are built. It's very rare that teams that, you know, are built the way that the Spurs win are able to win championships. And the Spurs this year have kind of bucked that trend, and I think that goes to their depth, to how they've been able to play different styles. They can play, you know, with the big teams inside, banging inside with some of their, you know, with Duncan and Thiago Splitter, but they can also stretch the floor out a little bit and with their bigs. So to me, that's what it becomes. If the Spurs are able to win games because they're able to get, 10, 15 points from 5 or 6 different guys, that's going to be how they're going to win games. And conversely, the Heat are going to win games based on their big three. So, I mean, when you see their big three go for 20, 25 points, they're probably going to win those games. And when the Spurs get 5, 6 guys to score 10, 15 points, they're going to win those games.
Quickly, Ari, what's the update on Parker?
He's going to play tonight, and, you know, beyond that, I think only Parker knows. So, you know, we'll just have to see how he plays tonight. But like I said before, they can't win this series without him, and he's clearly not 100%. And, look, they played 100 basketball games, so nobody's 100% at this point.
Who are you taking?
I'm taking the Spurs in 7. I picked the Heat last year. I think the Spurs this year are better than they were last year. And that to me speaks to the depth of this team, legitimate depth. Kawhi Leonard's better. Patty Mills is better. Thiago Splitter's better. Danny Green's better. So in that, we've got a bunch of guys that improved from last year, and to me that will be, above all else, the most important factor.
Ari, we really appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the final. Should be a great series.
Sure, anytime.